Thank you for being in the Lord's house today, and we do appreciate the choir sharing, always blessing us as they share in music, and always good to have some new ones to join. Amen. And now men and others that for the nominating committee as well as this deacon list, don't just automatically say, no way. Amen. There's some things that over the years I've said no way, and then all of a sudden the Lord said, are you sure? Did you ask with me? Did you check with me before you said no way? Well, no, Lord, I didn't. Okay. So you check with the Lord before you say no way. Because the Lord's got the men he needs. And then for the nominating committee, the Lord's got the people he needs. We just have to say yes. We've seen people that have had a stroke and, you know, their hand doesn't work or whatever. Sometimes in the body of Christ is crippled because somebody says, no, I won't do what I am supposed to do and what the Lord wants me to do. So you be faithful. Now, this morning, I'm going to start at a certain scripture. And then I'm going to quote a lot of scriptures. You may want to write some of them down, even if you didn't turn to all of them, because you might or might not realize everything I want to say. And probably I should make this 6 sermons. And you'll understand when we get there. But we'll just go for one this morning. And if you want application for one of the amplification for one or more of them, let me know and we'll see about that. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about a man or two men build houses, one built on the rock, one built on the sand. And then when the storm came, the one that built on the rock stayed, lasted, endured. The one that was built on the sand came apart, fell down, collapsed, was destroyed. And we know that. We all understand that you've got to have a good foundation for a building. The community we live in has a housing association, and we had a meeting the other night, and, you know, we've not been there long, but they were, one of the people that have been there a long time says, you know, certain houses built on where a pond used to be. So it's going to sink sooner or later. They just sort of put a little dirt in that pond and filled it in. Now, I don't think it's my house because everywhere we've tried to dig to plant flowers has been a rock. I mean, you know, rock. So I don't think it's our house, and I don't know which house they were talking about. But, you know, a good solid foundation makes a difference. A good solid foundation makes a difference in your individual life. Good solid foundation makes a good difference in your family. Makes a difference in a nation. Makes a difference in a church. Makes a difference in our faith. What is the foundation of our faith? What is the foundation of our faith? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And the writer, in a moment, we're going to look at 6 foundations that this writer of Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, mentions for our faith. 6 of them. And so we ask the question, is your individual faith built upon these 6? Is the faith that we teach in our church built upon these 6? Now, notice what he says in the verse 1 of chapter 6 of Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. You know, understand what he's saying here. He's saying, folks, we ought to have these things down pat. We ought to have these things so solidly entrenched in our lives that we can go on to deeper spiritual truths. He said, don't have to lay these things over and over again. But he mentions them, which sort of reminds me, you know, in other places the Bible says, I really wanted to feed you some meat, but you still got to get the bottle. You're not ready for meat yet. And sometimes we don't get the foundation right, and God can't lead us into the deeper truths that he would like to give us. And I think you'll find that these foundations are very, very important and very, very true. Notice what he says, the very first one. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. The first foundation, he says, is repentance from dead works. Now, what are dead works? I think there are two categories. One is sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. To repent means to be sorry for, but also to turn around and go in a different direction. It's not just to be sorry for, you know, for something we've done. It's to have a desire and a will to change. A desire and a will to be better, to be different. To go in the opposite direction. To repent from sin. Now there are people all over the world, and you know, especially here in the United States, that know some gospel, that say, well, you know, this isn't sin anymore. This isn't sin. You know, a lot of things people say aren't sin anymore. God didn't change his standard. They're still sin. If they were sin 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, it's still sin. So God here says to us, repentance from dead works. And that'd be repentance from sin. But dead works can also go into another category, and that is things that we do in order to earn our salvation. Things that we do in order to earn our salvation. It's amazing the number of people that think that somehow or another God has one of those scales, you know, and you put it all here and error comes this way, or you put it over here and the error goes the other way, and they think, if I can do enough good stuff to outweigh my sin, then I've got it made, I'm going to heaven. If I can just be better than my neighbor, I'll make it. If I can be better than that person down the street, I can make it. And so they go through life realizing, I'm messing up. So I got to give some money here. I've got to go walk this widow lady across the street, or I've got to do something good to balance out what I've done. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that salvation is the gift of God. It's of grace, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. We're not going to go to heaven because of our good works. We're going to go to heaven because of what this represents, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember one of the most shocking scriptures at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, in the last days, many will come to him and say, Lord, we prophesied, we cast out devils, we healed the sick, we did all of these things in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Folks that did good works without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent of sin. We need to repent of thinking we can earn our way into heaven. That's the bottom line. If I think somehow, or if you think somehow, we can make heaven on our own, we will never be saved. If we think we're going to make heaven apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to make it. And so the writer here of Hebrews says the very first foundation is to repent of dead works. And then notice the second thing he says, faith towards God. The second foundation he mentions is faith towards God. You remember what Paul wrote to the Romans. that if with thy mouth thou shalt confess, with thy heart believe, you'll be saved. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We repent of trying to save ourselves. We repent of our sin. But we turn around and we trust. We have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We decide, I can't make it without him. We throw ourselves on his mercy. We throw ourselves on his grace. We decide that, Lord, your grace and Jesus is the Savior. And we trust only in Jesus. We trust only in Jesus. You know, it's frightening the number of even evangelical Christians that think there's going to be some other way to heaven than Jesus. It's just not so. If you or if your loved ones are depending on somebody else or some other way, it's amazing, you know, a year or so ago, people started talking about Chrislam, a blending of Christianity and Islam. It don't mix. Never has, never will. It's not faith in Allah and faith in Jesus. It's faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Faith toward God, he said, is a solid part of the solid foundation. Do we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice the third foundation of the doctrine of baptisms. Well, right behind me, we have a baptistry. And we think about baptism. But notice, it's plural. Did you notice the doctrine of baptisms, plural? What are some other baptisms? Well, in 1 Corinthians, let's see, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Talks about a baptism. Verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all made to drink of one Spirit. We have been baptized into the body of Christ. When you got saved, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You were immersed. You were made a part of the body of Christ. There are no lone wolf Christians. You are a part of the body of Christ. According to the Bible here, you were baptized into the body of Christ when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That day, you became a part of the body of Christ. Baptized into the body of Christ. All right. Go back to Acts chapter 2. We'll talk about another type of baptism. Acts chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 37. Then they which heard, now Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and they which heard were stung or cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Remember, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Peter told them to be baptized. A little bit later, when Philip meets the Ethiopian eunuch, and they go along, and Peter explains the gospel to him, and he says, well, hey, there's some water over there. Can I be baptized? He was baptized. The Ethiopian was baptized. And if you've been saved and haven't been immersed, you need to be. You need to be. That's a part of the foundation. Baptized into the body of Christ. Baptized in water. Go back one more chapter to Acts 1. Verse 5. For John, and this is Jesus talking. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptists usually talk about more about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Charismatics usually talk more about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But an experience where the Spirit of God totally fills and controls our lives. And it becomes not me, but it becomes Him. It all comes out to, Lord, your will and your power and your glory in my life, and that's all that matters. That's a part of it. Not just being saved and hope we get to heaven, but the glory of the presence of God in our lives. The joy of the presence of God in our lives. The power of the presence of God in our lives. All makes a difference. And so the Bible talks about at least three baptisms. And he says that's one of the foundations. Go on, let's see what the next foundation is. The laying on of hands. Now what pops in your mind when I talk about laying on of hands? Man that's never been a deacon kneeling here and other deacons and pastors coming by and laying their hands on him. Or a man that's been called to the ministry. And he's kneeled and they come and they lay hands on him. But you know that I found at least four places in the New Testament where they talked about laying on of hands, and there were four different things. So go with me first to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And we'll start at verse 13. 13:13. I think. No, that's not it. I messed up somewhere or another. Anyway, I looked up the wrong verse. Anyway, or wrote down the wrong verse. Okay. What it's referring to is when they brought the little children to Jesus. And the disciples said, get those brats out of here. Jesus is too important to mess with those kids. And it says, Jesus said, no, let those kids come to me. And he says, he laid hands on them and blessed them. He laid hands on them and blessed them. See, one of the ways we can lay hands on people is to lay hands on people and impart to them a blessing. Now, what all that blessing involved in the life of these kids, I don't know, but can you think 50 years later, somebody saying, you know, Jesus put his hands on me. Jesus spoke a blessing over me. Jesus spoke a kind word over me. All right, let's go to Acts 6. And this is the one that, you know, we usually think about, Acts 6. When we think about laying on of hands. And let's see, verse 6. The context, church has grown, so many thousand people there, and they're looking after the widows, and there's a complaint, and they chose some men to be what we call those first deacons. In verse 6 of Acts 6, and whom the they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. In other words, a laying of hands on somebody for an anointing for ministry. Laying hands on somebody for an anointing for ministry. That the power of God come into their lives and give them a special equipment, special ability to do the ministry that God had called them to do. Now go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6. Paul talking, writing to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Timothy had received some type of spiritual gift from Paul when Paul placed his hands on him. Somehow or another, Paul had imparted to him a spiritual gift. I don't know what it was, whether it was preaching or something else, but God imparted to him a spiritual gift. One other, Mark 16. Mark 16. The last part of verse 18 of Mark 16, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." The last part of verse 18 of Mark chapter 16, laying hands on people for them to be healed. Now you say, "Oh, wait a minute, preacher. That was for the apostles." Go back and look at verse 17. "These signs shall follow them that believe." Are you a believer? Oh, sure you are. It says, "This is for those who believe." The power of God flowing through one believer to another believer for healing. All right, that's four of them. The fifth one, the resurrection of the dead. For time's sake, I won't ask you to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about people as saying, "Well, hey, there is no resurrection." And he said, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus didn't rise. And if Jesus didn't rise, all of our faith is in vain. No, Paul says, Christ rose and we'll rise. Paul also wrote in 1 Thessalonians, the last trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air and will ever be with the Lord. There are people that believe when you die, you die. And that's the end of it. And there are people, prominent people, you know, in Hollywood and other places, that when you die, you come back as something else. I'd just soon not come back as a fly or a mosquito or something else, you know. I don't want to even come back as somebody else. The Bible talks about the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. And the sixth sign is eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. Again, there are numbers and numbers and numbers of people that don't believe that we're going to face a judgment. You know, the good old God's like some sort of senile granddaddy, and he's always got candy in his pockets to give to us, and he'll never, never, never judge anybody. But the Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible talks about, in 1 Peter, about judgment beginning at the house of God And if it begins at the house of God, how will it going to be to those that aren't saved? And the Bible in Revelation talks about a great white throne judgment where all lost people stand. And because their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, they're forever, forever, forever sent to a lake of fire. Now notice, the writer of Hebrews said, hey, these are the foundations. The foundations that are to undergird our faith, are to undergird our lives, are to undergird our church. Repentance of dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands. The Lord coming. Eternal judgment. Resurrection of the dead. Is that your faith? Is that your faith this morning? Is that where you're coming from this morning? You know, it doesn't do any good to build a house and put a couple of good foundations over here and leave this other side in sand. You need your foundation all the way around the house. I didn't make this up. The writer of Hebrews said, okay, folks, we need to get these foundations settled so we can go on to greater things of God. And I pray this morning that each one of us has got those foundations firmly settled in our lives. As we celebrate the Lord's table, it's a reminder that it's all because of Him. It's all because of Him that we have eternal life. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. And when we stand before the judgment of God, eternal lostness. As we celebrate at the Lord's table, praise the Lord for your salvation. Praise the Lord for your salvation. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come to me after the service and let's talk about it? Well, I don't want anybody to leave here saying, well, you know, I'm not ready to be raised from the dead. I'm not ready for that judgment. Brother Leonard, would you all come?